Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will arise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation to condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there's something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, 1 week into Lent, we get a reminder of the real purpose of Lent. Purpose of Lent is conversion. As Pope Benedict used to say throughout his pontificate, the conversion that God asks of us is not a small course correction in our life, but something major. Not a shift of 1 or 2 degrees, but something much closer to 180 degrees. Any part in us that is not fully aligned with the Lord is calling us to repent and change. And that call is not something we can blow off for the morrow, but that call is something that is urgent. The first reading, we see that very famous scene of Jonah going to the pagan city of Nineveh, modern-day Mosul, which ISIS ran over in the last year. There, in Nineveh, this thriving pagan necropolis, Jonah showed up. We know how intimidated Jonah was to go to that city. He tried to run away from the first mission. We'll get there in a second. But when the Lord called to him a second time, after the Lord saved his life by a miracle, Jonah, with trust in the Lord, went and did as the Lord said. 40 more days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. He never had to get to 39. The Ninevites heard the message on the first day. The message got to the king. The king, as we see in this reading, made a decree, but only made a decree after he himself had changed. He rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in the ashes, and then decreed, "Neither man nor beast nor cattle nor sheep shall taste anything." Not a fast of one ordinary meal and two other meals that don't equal a second. Didn't allow anything to taste their lips, not even any water. Man and beast, even the pets, shall be covered with sackcloth, and cry or bark loudly to God. Every person shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows? This pagan said, who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath so that we shall not perish. They responded immediately. They responded with faith. They responded with conversion. And as we see, when God saw their actions, he didn't carry out the destruction that was intended if they hadn't changed. Because, as we pray in the responsorial psalm today, God never spurns a humble and contrite heart. Somebody cries out for mercy and recognizes they need it and wants to change. God's always there to meet the person there. But that's key. Now we come to us. A week ago today, on Ash Wednesday, Jesus, a sign greater than Jonah, a greater preacher of conversion, said to each of us, as we were marked with ashes, repent and believe in the gospel. Have we responded? Have we responded like the Ninevites? He could have easily said 40 more days and Fall River would be destroyed. Would he have to get to a second day? Would he have to get to 39? Or are we just kind of moseying on with Lent with just a little bit of a difference in our life? No, the Lord wants a major shift in our life. Any part of us that's not aligned with Him, He wants aligned. He wants it not just for us, but for others. He who became a sign greater than Jonah likewise wants us to become a sign of conversion for all the rest. Jonah was capable of being the sign for conversion because Jonah didn't initially want to do the Lord's will. He ran away from the Lord. But the Lord saved his life. It was a moment of great conversion for Jonah, and onward Jonah completed the mission. Likewise, the Lord wants us to look at those areas in our life and that we need His mercy, receive it, and then become signs of conversion for others. Jesus in the Gospel today said about His own contemporaries, "This generation is an evil generation." But those words of Jesus can be said of every age. In ancient Nineveh, it's not that everyone was under the sway of Satan. In a metropolis like that, you would have had plenty of people who would have been good. But the whole city needed to repent because the city and the generation was wicked and evil. Likewise, now in Fall River or in the United States, a lot of good people, a lot of people who are with the Lord. But can we really say that we're a good people? Can we? Once we probably could have. We don't have to be overly pessimistic. But today, over the course of this homily, another 40 innocent little babies are going to be slaughtered through abortion. And we allow it. We've allowed the total distortion of marriage. We've allowed marijuana to become legal in our state. The most populous movie, the greatest movie of all time ever released in February, is 50 Shades of Grey, which is about sadomasochistic bondage and the desecration of woman made in God's image and likeness. And we're paying for that, and we're calling that art. We've turned hardened hearts toward immigrants. We raise up a culture that separates public life from God. Would Jesus say this is a holy generation? I don't think He could without violating His nature as the truth in flesh. There's good today, but there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of need for conversion. And the Lord wants us to lead that conversion. The Lord gives us three different practices so that we might. The first is so that we will return to God in prayer. And hopefully others, in seeing our prayer, will say, "That's what I'm missing." Lord calls us to take the lead with almsgiving, that we are people who will sacrifice even our own life, not to mention what's in our wallets or pocketbooks, not to mention our time for those who need it. And that can be a great sign of conversion for others in their egocentrism and selfishness. We're called to fast. And when people see us, who have reputations of being holy because we go to Mass every day, when they see us fasting out of reparation for our sins and the sins of the whole world, they might grasp that there's something that they need to do as well. In ours, where St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, whose face adorns the sanctuary, was priest, the real conversion of ours happened only after a decade. When one night a few girls were coming back from one of the lascivious drunken dances called the Vogue, and they saw a candle flickering in the church of St. Sixtus. They wondered what was going on, so they stuck their head out of curiosity in. St. John Vianney was before the tabernacle on his knees, bawling his eyes out, "Donnez-moi la conversion de ma paroisse! Give me the conversion of my parish. I willingly assent to suffer every punishment until the end of time. Just grant me the conversion of my parish." And these girls turned to each other. And they said, "Was that fasting, emaciated, praying, almsgiving cleric praying for us? We're not that bad. We're not serial killers. We're not public blasphemers. He's praying for our conversion." And it touched the first girl. She went on up, and he turned around with tears in his eyes, and he said, "What can I do for your daughter?" She said, "Father, can you hear my confession?" And he did. She came out, bathed in tears, not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. at the forgiveness. And then the other two girls followed her into that confessional and left with joy. And the next day, they spread the news by their own joy-filled conversion. The conversion was possible for everybody. And that's when finally, after a decade of work, the people started coming to confession in ours. It was the prayer, it was the fasting, it was the almsgiving of their pastor that eventually cut through the hard exoskeleton that was surrounding their heart so that God could actually reach. And God's calling us to be similar signs to the people of our generation as St. John Vianney was to his. God's calling us to be Jonas. Not necessarily going out and wagging fingers 40 more days before the Lord will destroy you. No. This time of conversion won't last forever. Urgently, we need this gift to call people to come and get it. Because the Lord never spurns a humbled and contrite heart. But there are many hearts that are proud, that spurn the Lord. And those hearts God can't help because of the way that He created us free. If we're not open to receive His gifts, we won't get them. So what's it going to be? Nineveh had a 40-day season, but they didn't wait until the very end to see if the Lord was really serious about His call. They acted right away. Our Lent is a 40-day season, and the Lord doesn't want us to procrastinate. Any area of our life that's not in alignment with Him, He wants us to get to it so that we can be signs of the fruits that come from a converted life. Because time's ticking for everyone else we know too. And the more urgent our conversion, the more urgent theirs. And we should never even think that we've got 40 days. The Lord Jesus tells us that we know not the day or the hour. Today might be the last day we ever have a chance to convert. Today might be the last day one of our family members or friends has to convert. This is an urgent call. When we were in Rome last week, we encountered Jonah. And we encountered him in two settings, and it's very important for us to grasp. First setting was in the Sistine Chapel, right above Michelangelo's Last Judgment, which faces us all. We're all going to be judged. Right over the crucifix on that altar, where the Pope would celebrate Mass in his private chapel. Throughout that period, and Pope Francis celebrated his first Mass as our Holy Father. Right above it, you've got Jonah in the whale as a real sign of the conversion we need. The conversion we need to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and every day really follow the Lord up close and intimately from the inside out. It's the first aspect of the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah is a sign of conversion. Like the cross is a perpetual sign calling us to change, because that's precisely what our sins did. And God the Father allowed Jesus to be lifted up like a serpent in the desert so that we might see precisely the sin that's killing us and killed Him and repent. It's the first aspect of the sign of Jonah. Second aspect was at St. John Lateran Archbasilica. We're looking at this ancient point, counterpoint between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is the way our Christian ancestors throughout the centuries learned the faith. And I was quizzing everybody about the Old Testament scene, wondering what it related to in the New Testament. The first one we looked at was of Jonah being expunged from the belly of the whale onto the shore. And I asked, what is the New Testament fulfillment of what was concealed in the Old? And they got the answer. It's when on the third day, Jesus was spat out from the ground. Jesus' resurrection, ultimately the sign of Jonah, this sign of conversion, is a sign that's meant to lead us to the fullness of life. God's will is not that we should die. God's will is that we shall live. But the only way we will is to turn around, because we're going off a cliff. The only way we will, so we start to rotate entirely with the Lord Jesus. And that's what the gift of Lent is. Even now, says the Lord, as we sang in the Alleluia, in the Praise to You, Lord Jesus Christ verse, return to me with your whole heart, for I am gracious and merciful. And that adjective whole is crucial for Lent. Don't just return to me a little bit. Return to me with all your heart, all your affections, all your love, the very core of who you are. Return to me, for I'm gracious and merciful. That's what the Ninevites found out. That's what we Fall Riverites are supposed to find out, if only we follow their example and heed not Jonah's word, but Jesus's. To him be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.